Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
It's me, and I'm here for another week, another day, another A, with my good friend and Fanny, Meredith Cooper Jones. But before we get going, I do want to put a message out there. I want to remind everybody that our podcasts and pretty much everything I do is sponsored and funded by 3D Dentists, where we provide phenomenal education to grow your practice, to help you add more services to your menu, and to overall help you build a thriving and sustained practice. We do this through online workshops and through live in-person workshops. So don't forget to visit 3d-dentists.com, or if you type in tbonespeaks.com, it'll take you there. So I'm going to turn it over to Miss Meredith.
Happy Monday, everyone. So before we get started, I just would like to mention that we have 99 podcast reviews on Apple Podcasts.
That's all?
Yeah.
I would think that we'd have thousands.
So
my name is, I'm not Joe Rogan.
No, I want to know who's going to be the 100th reviewer.
Is there a prize for them?
Yeah. They get to be our best friend.
Okay. they don't want to be my best friend. Just saying.
So if you have a moment, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read one, the 99th. Review that we have. This is from Seth. He said, love this podcast. As a non-dentist, married to a dentist, I really enjoy T-Bone's podcast because all of the material presented on the podcast are super useful and easy to implement. He is a smart business person, not to mention his great sense of humor. Keep up the great work.
I love it when people say I have a great sense of humor, and yeah, then my wife and kids...
I was saying, because sometimes we say not.
Because then my wife and kids always complain how I don't have a sense of humor or how I am boring.
Because you're tired after having that sense of humor all day.
Well, you know the rule here, right?
Yeah.
Is a man has a quota of how many words they can use per day. And by the time I get done with work or recording a podcast episode, I'm out of words that I can use for the day.
Yeah, that's it. Well, let's get started. Before you use up all of your words, let's get started on the important things for today. So today we're going to talk about being recession ready.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the recession?
Well, I think...
Or a potential or future recession.
You know, I think it's hard to say this, okay? Because I know we have felt pain, and I know some people have felt more pain than others. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we felt the pain yet.
Right.
Okay? So here's what I believe, mm-hmm. okay? Or here's what I'm preparing for. I hope it doesn't happen. Yeah. But here's what I'm preparing for. I think the tough times are to come in the next 4 to 6 months.
Okay.
Because right now we have 2 months of pent-up demand. People are ready to get out there, and they're just tired and just ready to get back.
They're sick of being cooped up.
Right.
Yeah, and they want to get out. Thing,
they want to go to the dentist.
Anywhere that will take them, I think, and everywhere else is closed.
Pretty
so.
Much. If we cooked burgers, they would come to our office and eat burgers. So I think there's that going on. And then I think what is going to happen, truthfully, is we've lost 28 million, 30 million jobs in the United States of mm-hmm. America. I don't think everyone will get hired back. Okay. Right. I think ultimately maybe 60 to 70% mm-hmm. will get hired back. And we had a unemployment rate of in the 4 to 5% ballpark. I think that unemployment rate is probably going to settle around 8 to 9%, mm-hmm. which is kind of like 2009, 2010 levels. I think the pain of not having 2 months of production in dentistry or in the overall global economy, I think that's going to catch up to us. And then I think certainly the potential or likelihood that we will have some type of return or flare up will change people's sentiment. So I think in the next 6 to 12 months, we will probably experience a recession. Now, let's define what we just experienced was not a recession, by the
right.
way. A recession is defined as 2 consecutive quarters of decreased gross domestic product, the GDP. And what we just experienced was not even a depression. It was worse.
Right. It was just a shutdown.
It was a shutdown, right?
Fully.
So a full shutdown is one thing. Mm-hmm. A depression is another thing. A recession is another thing.
Yeah.
So what I'm encouraging, what I'm doing myself, is I'm moving into this with a recession-ready mm-hmm. attitude.
Approach.
So I don't think we're going to see the recession for the next few months.
Right.
It's going to be cuckoo the next few months anyway. But I think 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, we're going to feel a recession.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we need to get prepared for that.
Okay. So we have quite a few ways that you can go ahead and prepare for this. And the mm-hmm. first one being that you can get clarity.
I feel like I say this over and over every week, right?
Right.
But on this one, I'm being more specific, okay? So one of the things is I want us to get clear about who we're trying to serve.
Right.
Okay. So there is a misconception that in a recession, we should treat anybody for any type of revenue. I would leave that for the depression.
Right.
If we ever
you
have
you can't some, be everyone's everything.
You cannot.
Right.
Right. So I think you have to get a little bit clear about who you're going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be Walmart
and
serve everybody? Are you going to be Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be Target, Nordstrom, Saks Fifth Avenue? I want us to get a little bit fine-tuned on who it is that we're going to serve, what your practice is known for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in other words, in the last episode, we talked about shouting it from the rooftops.
Yeah, getting it out there to the community.
This is who we are. We're an implant practice. We're a cosmetics practice. We're a family practice. We're an adult practice. I think we have to get clear about what we are and put that out there. And then we have to get our team aligned on who we are.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, they're going to drive it. The messaging mm-hmm. on the phones.
Yes.
The messaging of what we wear. You know, the things we schedule and don't schedule, how we react to whatever it may be. So, you know, that's kind of, that's there for that, right? So I think we need to you know, get clear about what type of dentistry we're going to be, what kind of practice we're going to be, communicate that to our patients, communicate that to our community, and then assess, you know, what kind of return on risk that we're getting.
Yeah.
So in other words, how much money do I want to make?
Right. And that's going to be different for everyone because every dentist needs a different amount of money to live on.
But I think ultimately that's the building block.
But yes.
You know, that's to me is the first thing is, hey, I need $6,000 a month to live, or I need $10,000 a month to live, or I need $30,000 a month to live, and then start building your practice backwards.
Based
on reverse engineer that and say, this is what I got to do, because then maybe you can be a little bit more selective.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't be selective, right? And then so kind of look at that and get clear about who you're going to be, what you're going to serve, and what's available in your practice.
Yeah. And I think that getting the clarity is always what comes first, because you can't really move on with anything else without having that clarity. So getting the clarity would be our first thing to become recession ready. And then after that, you could move on to fine tune your sales process.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could fine tune your sales process without the team being on board with that clarity, because that all starts, you know, before they even get into the office.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, in the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode. Well, I think fine-tuning your sales process is part of getting the team clear.
Mm-hmm.
And let's think about this again. So we've just gone through, and many of our listeners have only gone through, 10 years of prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably unlike we've seen in our country or in our profession in a long time.
Yeah.
And during these prosperous times, it's pretty easy to let things fall through the cracks. It's pretty easy to just kind of be a little bit laissez-faire about things and just let things
go
happen.
With the flow.
Go with the flow and not worried. Hey, I lost one patient here. It's not a big deal. I'm going to replace them with 30 more this month or whatever it is. So when I say fine-tune the sales process, I want to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Three steps.
Yeah.
Fine-tune the pre-visit process.
Before they even come to your office.
What do they experience and hear?
Yeah.
And what does your team say before they come? The visit process, in other words, what happens to the patient while they're in your practice? And the one that we're in a good economy have to spend the least amount of time on, but in a tougher economy, we need to spend more time on is the post-visit. So again, what happens to them before they get here? What happens to them when they get here? And what happens when they leave here? So let's kind of dive in. Let's spend a few minutes kind of diving in on each of those. So when it comes to before they get here, what are we talking to them on the phone about? You know, how are they, you know, what are they hearing from us?
Right.
You know, are they hearing insurance questions?
Right.
You know, are they hearing we're cheap or we're have, you know, we
are they offering an experience or are they just letting them know we have a service?
And or are we asking specifics?
Right.
You know, Meredith, tell me more about what you're looking for in a dentist. Or yeah. Meredith, how'd you hear about our office? Mm-hmm. Well, I saw you on MetLife. Okay, well, then my conversation with you is going to be different. Right. Okay, I saw your implant ad.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So, a friend referred you. I have a great friend who so loves wonderful. You guys.
You know, Meredith, you're going to love our office. Yes. You know, on your visit, you're going to meet Megan. She handles our new patients, and I know you and Megan are going to get along, and we have you scheduled with Dr. Fiza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So all of these things, these are important. The paperwork.
Yeah.
You know, are you doing it in advance?
Right.
You know, are you getting some of that out of the way? Are you doing all of these things so that way your patients, you know, are ready for when they come in? You know, even as far as what is your website telling them?
Are you able to fill out that paperwork on the website before you come in?
Are they,
or emailed?
Do they know what to expect? Do you have a page on your website that says what to expect at your first visit in our office?
Right.
You know, or are you telling, hey, Meredith, I'm going to send you an email with some important links that'll kind of tell you what to expect when you get here. Mm-hmm. That way you're prepared and we look so forward to seeing you. So, and that'll kind of get into some of the things we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I think we need to kind of fine-tune that pre-visit process, online scheduling, chat services, you know, texting to the office. All of these things are super important to kind of set the stage and make it easy, remove friction, as I like to say, or I've heard other people say, remove the friction of getting into the office.
Yeah, setting a first impression before they even get there.
Yeah, it's super important.
Yeah. And then the experience of the visit is probably what stays in their mind the longest. And that's what they're going to tell people and refer friends and leave reviews and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, in today's time, is it clean?
Yeah.
Is it safe? You know, are you treating them nicely? Mm-hmm. Are you using their names? You know, all these things that we all say, oh, yeah, I do that. And in a great economy, we can kind of slack
get away
a little
with
bit.
A
we
little
can
bit.
Get a little bit, right?
But then
when we get move into that, and the other reason I think that it's important to talk about the fine-tuning your sales process is, truthfully, when is the last time you actually looked and listened to and recorded a phone call in the practice?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you looked at, listened to, and recorded a new patient visit?
Or a consult.
Or a consult. Yeah. You know, when's the last time we did any of these things?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is we all say we haven't had time or we don't need to.
Right.
Or it's
good
enough.
Everything's going fine.
You know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But the truth is it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to be prepared for this. We have to revisit all of these things. And then the post-visit, you know, what's happening afterwards is so important. And speaking from experience, it is the part that we've done probably the poorest part on of all of these things. Mm-hmm. We're pretty good on the front end side. And notice I said pretty good, right?
Right.
So let's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would that be?
Yeah.
We're probably at a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
What does it take to get to an 8 to 9?
Yeah.
What's our experience when they come to the office? Probably a 7 or an 8.
Mm-hmm.
What does that take to get that to an 8 or a 9?
Right.
And then I would say, what's our experience on 1 to 10 of a post-visit follow-up? I'd probably say that's a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then what do we got to do to get that to, not a 10.
Right.
10's a, you know, pie in the sky. Right now, let's just get to a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Things like follow-up phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Meredith, I know that right now that you said that you need to take some time to think this over and talk to your husband about this. Would it be okay if I go ahead and give you a call next Tuesday, 1 week from today, about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. I think a lot of times once they leave the office, we're focused on the next new patient.
Yeah, it's squeaky wheel, right? What's in front of you.
Yeah.
And so someone in your practice needs to be focused on this follow-up process.
Right.
And we got to be specific. So I'm giving some specifics here. One
is
we got to set an appointment, an expectation that Meredith, you should expect to hear from me or whoever it may be in our office on next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Meredith, you work on Tuesdays. Would it be okay if I called you around after 5 o'clock or text you?
Mm-hmm.
Great. No problem. You know, and we're uncomfortable doing those things, right?
Right.
But the difference between doing good and doing great in a downturn is those little things like that. And then also like a follow-up drip campaign. You know, like we use Revenue Well. I'm not trying to be an ad for Revenue Well, but they have those things where it sends those follow-up emails. Right. You know, we post a code, and then you get an email the next day, 1 week later, whatever day, you know, you set those things. And then 30 days later, a month later, just kind of reminders of what's going on. And I think I wrote some notes on that where, you know, the first thing is just kind of remind you what you found. Hey, Meredith, I know when you came in, we had talked about fixing your rotating your teeth, because I know that you mentioned that you're unhappy about your smile. Okay, so just kind of a very simple email just saying, hey, this is what we talked about. And then maybe your next email be maybe, you know, Meredith, I want to give you some more information on how Invisalign works. Mm-hmm. It's a series of clear trays, blah, 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 blah. Some educational, you know, material about the process. And then the third email I send you is, Meredith, I don't know, I want to introduce you to Jacob in our office. Jacob had a smile just like yours. He looked at Invisalign to straighten his teeth. And here's a video from Jacob. Just click here that says Jacob's experience in our process. Meredith, we've talked to you about different things. I want to share with you a recent thing you may have read in USA Today about how clear orthodontics has taken over the market. Mm-hmm. And that general dentists are leading that charge. And then maybe the final email may be something like, hey, Meredith, we've talked about all these different things. Is now a good time to get started on this?
Yeah.
You know, so a series of emails that kind of build a story and kind of isn't constantly sale. It's jab, jab, give from jab, jab, hook from Gary Vaynerchuk, where I give you some information. I give you some patient testimonial, patient story. Mm-hmm. I give you some news where it's been in the news recently. And then I come in and ask for the sale at the very end. So programs like Revenue Well have that ability within the software to be able to do it. But it starts with the expectation, and it also includes somebody having to communicate directly with the patient at some point in time.
Yeah. I was going to say, and even a follow-up phone call. I know one of my favorites of this post-visit follow-up was I had reached out to a patient two or three times, sent multiple emails, sent over, I had already seen the patient, sent them their Invisalign.
Yeah, the ClinCheck.
ClinCheck, and hadn't heard from them. And I'm like, she seemed really interested when she was here. Didn't hear anything back. So I gave her a call and she said, oh, I saw that you sent that. Hang on 1 second. She put me on speakerphone, pulled up the email, hadn't even opened the email. She said, yeah, it looks great. Here's my credit card number. I was like, that was the easiest, quickest call sale I've ever made.
Life gets in the way.
Right.
Right.
I just had to remind her.
Yeah.
That was all.
And you know, if you set that expectation during the visit,
right,
that, you know, listen, Meredith, I would like to follow up with you. No, I'm not interested. Don't follow up with me.
Right.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was someone who had mentioned Invisalign at her last four hygiene appointments. Right. I had only met her the last time she had come in. So I knew she wanted to do it. She was just that type of person where if you didn't kind of stay on her or let her know you were there, she wasn't going to initiate it on her own. Yeah. So all it took was not even 30 seconds with a phone call and a credit card number. So I think the post-visit is a little bit more important than we remember because we just get so ready to move on to the next.
Again, when you're in a good, prosperous economy, people call on their own.
Yeah.
And they say yes. And we can literally live and thrive off of that.
People calling.
But then, you know, we gotta make a more concerted effort at this point in time.
Okay, well, our first two ways to become recession ready is to get clarity, to fine-tune the sales process, and then we also have simplify your menu. And I think this is something we've learned kind of recently with everything going on as well, good examples of.
Yeah, so I feel bad a little bit, but I was down in Florida recently.
Yes.
And I wanted to go to Morton's because my 10-year-old, I know he's spoiled,
loves steak.
And he's heard that Morton's is very good, and we don't have Morton's here in Raleigh. So I said, let's go to Morton's. And I called them, and I said, so, you know, what's on your menu? They go, we have a limited menu right now. We have just the best of the best, you know,
available,
or our most popular things.
Right.
And what I've seen in talking to more and more people and what I recommend is that during a recession, we need to take things off our menu.
Yeah. Even McDonald's is doing this.
They have to.
They used to offer breakfast all day long, mm-hmm. and they made a huge big deal about how they were offering breakfast all day long, right?
Right.
Because of coronavirus, they have a COVID menu.
Right.
And it does not include breakfast all day long.
Because what
they're happened, cutting back.
They're cutting. They're getting more efficient and effective, right? Yeah. Right? And I know that. And I'm a big proponent. I mean, mm-hmm. our whole 3D dentist is built right. on adding services to your menu.
Right.
But I think in a recession, mm-hmm. we need to simplify
right.
our menu. So I'll give you some examples, okay? If we got closer and closer to a recession or we started feeling recession, I'd take whitening off our menu.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because we can't charge enough to justify right. it.
Would you rather, and I think a lot of times, not even just recession, but people are saying they don't have enough room. Mm-hmm. You're going to tie up a room for an hour and a half for $300 when you could have delivered a crown, or you could have even had an assistant doing ortho or Invisalign mm-hmm. or sleep appliance.
Right.
So that right there would be the first thing to take off the menu.
I think whitening in a prosperous time is a good product to have.
Right.
Because it helps your patients. Mm-hmm. It does different things. But then let's think about it. To do whitening trays, we have to see the patient twice.
Yeah.
Right? One time to take the impression, right. second time to deliver it.
Yeah.
So the cost today of setting up, tearing down a room has just gone up, correct?
Right.
So now we're doing it twice.
Yeah.
Then we have model work, we have labor, we have materials. I don't think it makes any money.
Yeah.
So in a prosperous time, I don't mind having whitening on the menu. But in a downturn, it's probably the first thing I'm going to take off the menu.
Right.
You know, another thing that we've done this well over the last few years is I would take removable off the menu. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something that you're not doing pretty regularly,
yeah.
I think it should be off your menu.
Right.
And removable dentistry is one of those things. Like, in other words, how much money does one make on doing a flipper?
Right. And I was going to say, and profitability.
Same thing, right?
Right.
Because to do a flipper, I got to see you twice.
Yeah.
The cost of seeing you twice.
And then the team has to deal with your attitude for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Mine personally.
That's got to cost something, right?
You know, so I think we got to simplify our menu. You got to start looking at procedures.
Yeah.
From a profitability perspective. Mm-hmm. And then the thing I want people to do is run a report that shows you your revenue by procedure code.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is that 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your procedures.
Right.
So really what should happen is you should get really good at that 20%.
Yeah.
And make room for more of those 20% of things
because
it drives 80% of your revenue and profitability. Right. So you got to make room for more of that.
So,
and instead what we do is it's illogical business is we make room for in chasing every dollar. We're just chasing dollars that cost us a dollar.
Right.
And it makes no sense whatsoever in a recession.
Yeah. So basically you're only going to start doing implants, sleep and ortho.
Well, maybe that's all I would do. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, maybe I should only work 2 days a week in a recession. Uh-huh. Me personally.
Right.
Because I can produce what I need, reduce my costs. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And be as profitable as I need to, because I got clear about how much I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I got to do to get there. So I think it's very counterintuitive to what most people think and what most gurus will tell you is I want you to simplify your menu. I've seen it at every restaurant I've been to during this time. Chick-fil-A, Morton's, McDonald's, Taco Bell, they've all cut out all the other stuff, and they've gotten to their core business.
Right.
This is what we do.
And more profitable
yes.
business.
By the way, I'm hearing more and more of restaurants especially telling me that they're more profitable. They're not maybe not making as much, but percentage-wise, they're more profitable during the corona time. Once they figured out how they're doing things, mm-hmm. They became more profitable.
Yeah, once they got their flow down.
Yeah.
Well, so to be recession ready, we've gone over three things. One, to start off, get clarity. Then to fine tune the sales process. And now simplify your menu, which leads to our fourth thing, improving cash flow.
Yeah. So
I think the easiest way to start with this would be overhead savings.
Yeah. You know, I hesitate because...
Yeah.
I'm not the nifty thrifty type, mm-mm. right? I'm not
I'm
not the, like, let me save 50 cents
right.
on cotton rolls, because I don't think at the end of the day it matters.
Right.
Okay. If you're at that stage where that is the difference, there's bigger issues going on, and that's not where you need to be focused. But the first thing you got to do is you got to look at your overhead, okay? And you got to look at, where do I optimize? Okay, and typically optimize means cutting, okay?
Yeah.
But where do I optimize my expenses?
Yeah.
So the first thing I look at always is recurring monthly
useless subscriptions. I need.
Yeah, you all. That's where I always look.
I know.
And how do I know if they're useless or not? Cut them off and see what happens.
Yeah, he asks us all the time. How many of you guys have Netflix? How many of you guys get this? How many of you guys? We're all like raising our hands.
Right. Because can we get on without them?
Probably.
You know, and to me, the easiest way to do that is to cut it off. You know, like I cut off Sling, and at the office, did anybody notice?
I don't know.
You didn't even know I cut it off, did you? See?
Yeah.
So why was I paying $80 a month for Sling?
Right.
You know, when we didn't need to. And that's when the shutdown started, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. So I bet money if I cut off Netflix at the office, nobody will notice. You know, as long as we got HGTV.
Something, yeah.
Something, right? I think we'll be okay. So maybe I'll cut off Hulu.
Yeah.
As well. You know, maybe I'll cut out whatever, you know, IQ software that I'm using. That it's a luxury to have it,
right?
But at the end of the day, is it really worth $400 or $500?
Necessity.
Or am I? Is it worth it? The answer is yes, but am I using it
to
make it worth it? And so the answer sometimes is to cut it off and see, you know, and then take a closer look. You know, have tough conversations. You know, I talk about this all the time. Have a conversation with your rep about this is what I got to do.
Right.
You know, help me. Cut this down to 5% or 6% or whatever the number it is you want. Get this down to $100 a month, and they're going to tell you they can't do it. But, you know, whatever.
But build those relationships. They'll last. Value them, and they will help you.
Yeah, and the relationships. Great point, Meredith. I think what we saw through Corona is relationships matter.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you struggled getting your PPP loan because you didn't have a deep relationship with your bank?
Banker.
Or how many of you spent lots of times applying at multiple places?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of you...
Or getting PPE because you didn't have a great relationship with your rep.
Yeah. So all of these things. So in a recession, I do want us to improve cash flow, but I don't want us to do it at the expense of relationships.
Right.
Because relationships last.
Right.
And another thing with improving cash flow is looking at your loans.
Yeah.
You know, optimize your loans. You know, you don't know. Like I always say, you don't know till you ask.
Right.
Meredith, can I have Meredith? Could I get a 1% reduction in my interest rate?
Sure.
You never know, right?
Yeah.
You know, but or the question may be, well, why are you trying to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Meredith, you know, the practice is we're seeing a 5%, 10%, 20% downturn in the economy. I'm a little bit worried. I'm trying to improve my cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't reduce your rate, but maybe what we can do is we can go from a 5-year term to a 7-year term.
Right. Longer terms.
Great. You know, or maybe we'll do that maybe we'll go interest only for the next 6 months or a year, you know, and we'll keep everything moving along. You know, so different things, optimizing, consolidating loans.
Consolidate, yeah.
Yeah, consolidate your loans. You know, look at things. You know, now, you know, there's no reason for anybody to carry credit card debt as a business owner.
Right.
You know, figure out how can we consolidate loans. Maybe I can use the SBA loan. Maybe I can use this. Things that have opened up, you know, use that to improve your cash flow. And then the other thing I want to say is you have, and this is tough, and this is not where you start.
Mm-hmm.
You don't start by cutting team members, but you take a closer look at your team members, because team members are, you know, the second most expensive overhead item in a practice.
Right.
Notice I said second.
Yeah.
The first most, what's the highest overhead item in the practice? The dentist.
Yeah.
The dentist is the highest overhead item. The second most highest overhead item is the team members. And then you have to start looking.
Uh-huh.
Who is pulling their weight? Who is dispensable? And for the team members that are listening, we know that this is what happens in a recession.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reasons that recessions deepen.
Yeah.
Is people start cutting people, correct? Mm-hmm. So what are you doing in the prosperous times to make yourself
valuable.
More valuable.
Yeah.
Like, for example, could I let Liz go?
No.
No, because we got to have sleep.
Right.
Right. But could I let a front office person go if we had two or three?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get by with less.
Right.
I could virtualize it. I could do any number of things to kind of cut that down.
Yeah.
So we have to look at that.
Harder to replace your there's probably not anyone that's irreplaceable, but harder to replace yourself for sure.
You got
to
learn the more skills. You know. And then also in the prosperous times, when you sense there's something where you don't sense a recession's coming, mm-hmm. but in a case like right now, that it's almost impossible that we don't have some type of recession.
Right.
Start increasing your emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time to start putting more money away. Like, for example, I believe you should have an emergency fund of 2 to 3 months minimum of office expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now it's time to go to 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and start putting that money in there.
And have it for the business and for personal.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, because ultimately if you have it for the business, you can pay yourself.
Right.
So therefore you have it for your personal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get ready for that. So don't wait till it happens. You know, start saying, okay, it's about time for cyclically for this to happen. Let's start bumping this number up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, those are great ways to improve cash flow in the office. So for our recession ready, we have, we've gone over 4 ways that we can start to get ready for that. We're going to get clarity, fine tune the sales process, simplify your menu, improve cash flow, and lastly, double down on internal marketing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3d-dentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode. Yeah, I think internal marketing, I think none of us really understand what that is.
Right.
You know, or what it is in 2020.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes we're doing it and we don't even realize how great of marketing it is.
Or we don't even realize, like, we think of internal marketing as asking for reviews
right.
and asking for referrals and having brochures out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, that's internal marketing, but internal marketing is so different today. So today, the reason I say double down on internal marketing, because it's essentially free.
Yeah, say it doesn't cost much.
You know,
yeah.
Team members can write blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Meredith, if I asked you, what is the most common question people have about Invisalign, what would you say?
How often do I have to wear my trays?
Great. So you put out a blog post.
Yeah.
How often do I change my trays? You know, why do I, what's the difference in 1 week wear versus 2 week wear?
Right.
And these are the things that Google picks up on.
Yeah.
You know, could you do a video that talks about that for 2 to 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
Except this is how this would go. He would come up to me with a camera and say, all right, answer a question.
Yeah.
So. And then he would post it.
You know, so.
It really does. What I'm saying though, is it doesn't take that much thought process behind
a
lot of these.
No.
It was part of our goal one time was we each had to come up with a question monthly and had to post these. And, you know, the more you thought about it, the harder it got. Like literally think about the dumbest question someone has asked you. And answer it.
Hence the most common question.
Right.
The most common things we ask are the dumbest things.
Right. But when you overthink it and you're trying to think of like a good question, you overthink it and then it's not as good.
Internal marketing is low cost.
Right.
Internal market is done by team.
Easy.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody plays a role.
Right.
You know, my front office, if I ask Michelle what's common questions, insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
If I ask Whitney,
what kind of pain should I expect? You know, if I ask my hygienist, how often do I really need to get my teeth clean? Mm-hmm. Or do I really need fluoride? You know, all of these things help with your Google organic SEO, search mm-hmm. engine optimization. They also train your team members to be more comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's super easy today. We have a phone.
Right.
That phone has a camera, does mm-hmm. 4K.
Yeah.
You know, you buy one of those ring lights, they're $100 yeah. at Amazon, and you plug in a wired microphone that's $10, mm-hmm. and you sit there and you clip it onto yourself, and boom, you're done. So for literally $120, I've got essentially what amounts to a professional setup.
Yeah. And the best thing is when a new patient comes in and they say, I saw you online.
Right.
I saw you, like you know, that makes a team member feel as important or maybe more important than the brand of the office that they brought someone in because they saw one of
them. And then you're more likely to do it again.
Right.
Right.
And then everyone wants to do one because they want to be a part of that.
Right. So you know, again, double down on internal marketing, things mm-hmm. like reviews. You know, I talk about signs.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going through a process of changing our signs now. We're not going to have physical signs. Mm-hmm. We're going to have TV, a digital sign in each room.
Yeah.
So it can go through 5 or 10 different things like we have in the waiting area mm-hmm. in our lobby now that nobody waits in because they're all in the car. But those things are important. People pick up on that. So that's super important as well. Testimonials, your patient stories, mm-hmm. written testimonials, reviews, videos,
testimonials,
even patients just holding it up. Hey, Meredith, you know, do you mind? Oh, I'm not, you know, the women say, I don't look my best now. Meredith, I don't, you know, no problem. Do you mind if you just take your phone and do a selfie video once you get home, talking about your experience here at the office? We'd love to share that with everybody. And in today's world, the millennials are so used to doing this. Uh-huh. There should be zero fear in asking an 18 to 30 year old to do a selfie video saying how good your office
and
is.
And after coronavirus, now that everyone's gotten on TikTok, now everyone has a ring light at home.
Exactly. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Right.
So, you know, you got to do that. Your emails, you know, mm-hmm. sending
those drip
emails,
campaigns
drip
again.
Drip campaigns, emails.
Yeah.
You know, what I call top of mind.
Yeah.
You know, staying top of mind. You know, your recalls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about the fact videos, the common questions that you get. And get those transcribed. Make them a blog post. Make it so Google puts that through there. Make it so that your website's updating every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your website should be a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
So, you know... double down on internal marketing. And by the way, all of these things you should do whether you're in a recession or not.
Right.
But they're super important during a recession. But by the way, all of these things are things I did coming out of 2008.
Right.
You know, and we experienced, we tripled our practice mm-hmm. in the last decade.
Yeah.
And so it's super important to look at this as an opportunity. And do remember this, okay? When you're in a recession, 75% of the people don't experience the recession.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're not affected at all.
They're not affected at all.
Right.
Like even let's take a look at the shutdown.
Right.
Did that really affect everybody?
Mm-mm.
You know, I would say half the population wasn't financially impacted. They were just able to move and work from home.
Right.
You know, so much of that is in our own mind of how that's, you know, going. And then when we do this internal marketing, focus on your product and the solution, the problem it solves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is the problem? Straight teeth. I want to, and by the way, crooked teeth is not the problem.
Yeah.
What is the problem? The problem is I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Or I'm not able to speak in front of crowds.
Right. Same with missing teeth.
Same thing, right?
Right.
You know, missing a tooth is not, you know, the implant is not the problem.
Right.
The problem is how it makes you feel, the disability. If we go back to, you know, Paul Humley stuff. It's the disability is the problem.
Right.
So what is your patient's problem? Your marketing should focus on that. Same with your patient testimonials.
Uh-huh.
You know, it shouldn't be about, dental arts is great. Nobody gives two shits that Raleigh Dental Arts is a great place. I was embarrassed by my smile. I waited years to do this. Raleigh Dental Arts took care of me.
Yes.
That's the best patient story you can get.
Right.
Because it tells you the problem. The problem was I'm embarrassed by my smile. These guys fixed it.
Right.
You know,
I mean, somebody says they're great, then great. We're going to get a lot of people who say, I'm here because you said you're great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what do you want? Nothing. You're great.
What
I wanted
great
to
mean?
Be here.
Great at what?
Right.
Great at seeing kids.
Yeah.
You know, but great at what problem are you mm-hmm. solving? What disability do you fix?
Yeah. Well, that is, we went over five things that can make your office recession ready. Do you have anything to add to those?
No, I just remember, I hope we don't have a recession.
Yeah.
But this is a great exercise to do because I hear it all the time. People say, if I wish I never did dentures, I didn't have to, mm-hmm. don't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So this can relate even if we're not going into a recession, but.
Absolutely.
Just in case it comes around and people say, well, I wish I would have been ready for this.
Yeah. I think, I think they're all important. Mm-hmm. You got to get clear. You got to look at your sales process. You got to record in videotape what's happening on the phone, what's happening when patients get there, and then you got to look at what am I actually doing mm-hmm. consistently to follow up with patients. And by the way, if you do that, imagine what you do in a prosperous time. If you add the follow-up on that, how right. good you do then, right?
Yeah.
And so, we get away with things. And then you got to simplify your menu. You know, I tell, I have friends that own restaurants. I say like, what product in here do you make the least money on? For like this, I'm like, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Why do you have it? How many of your customers would leave if you didn't sell grape leaves? Right?
Right.
They wouldn't.
No.
And double down on what you're profitable on.
Right.
French fries and Coke. Double down on French fries and Coke.
Yeah.
Because you're profitable on those. So, so simplify your menu, improve your cash flow. That starts by getting ready, by increasing your emergency fund, optimizing your subscriptions and loans, and then double down on internal marketing. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, it is something that we're going to push at our practice right now, is the importance of internal marketing. And because it's nearly free, mm-hmm. it gets team involved, and
it's effective.
It's effective.
Yeah.
It works.
It works.
Absolutely. So that's it for this week's episode. We live in a world where reviews are important. We're stuck at 99.
Yeah,
so
let's see who's going to be the
100. Let's not just, if you go on and we now have 100, be 101, 102, so that way we can get to 125, 150. That would be unbelievable. Do help us share this. Join us on Facebook. Let's see you at the 3D Dentist online and in-person classes. Send us a message at asktbone.com, area code 510-698-2663. Send us your voice questions. We'd love to start being able to play voice questions on the podcast. And, let's just have some fun, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.